back from Indianapolis, running in last Saturday's Monument Run. Did a couple of years in Indianapolis in radio, and I love the Monument, love you downtown. So how'd you do?
It was hectic. I jumped on a plane in Asheville after the community coffee last Friday. Came into the airport there about 9 o'clock in Indianapolis, went to the Airbnb that one of my friends had secured downtown at the race site, got up, ran the race, Steve. I did okay, but not very good.
Was it hot? Usually it's
it was hot, but it was just, you know, some days you show up and you just aren't in racing form. And even after the race, I flew back, got back home at 10 o'clock on Saturday morning, got up. The next day, fired my kill for the art show, let that cool down, and then again on Tuesday, I fired it again, unloaded it Wednesday night at 12 o'clock at night, I finally finished. Then Sally and I were working on getting ready for the art show, which we will have been doing since this broadcast will be on this weekend. Sunday morning, we'll still be there with all the other artists and craftspeople selling our work.
And I'll have a couple of mugs in the kitchen of yours. I love the fly fishing story, remembering Stell Huey and using a little weight for your fly fishing, but not Stell.
Stell was a classic top-ranked fly fisherman, and he believed that you use top water flies. He used to kid me because I would use nymphs and put lead weights on them and catch the fish on the bottom. He thought that wasn't real fly fishing. One year we won the Three Rivers Fly Fishing Tournament, and it was a combination. He was wading in the shallow waters, catching a lot of fish on the dry flies that he used, the Jack Cave. And I went out in the middle of the Tuckasegee and got into these deep holes with my weighted nymphs and caught a lot of big brown trout. So when we put it all together as a team, that year we won the tournament. I know Stell was thrilled, but he was a great outdoorsman, loved this wonderful Western Carolina wilderness, but he was also a tremendous community leader because he would get things going. For example, the Pisgah Legal Services, he took the initiative to get that started. Bel Canto, always a leader in that, raising money. Stell would do so many things for the betterment of the community. He was very interested in providing child care and was actively involved with the Presbyterian Church in their efforts to provide child care. I know if he was with us now, plans for the new Boys and Girls Club, he'd be right in there advocating for that special project also.
The electric upgrade, and with all of the storms that we have been having the last few days, pop-up thunderstorms, and we're going to have another phase four.
That's right. I was in on a meeting this past week. Bob Thomas, who's our electrical engineering consultant, who has been leading us through these upgrades, met with town staff, Joe, head of the electrical department, and so forth. And we were talking about where we were on upgrades. The focus right now is running that new line and poles on 64 North into town. When that project ends, we will have basically three circuits in town instead of two as we have now. That's coming to an end. It will have cost about $650,000 to do that work. Bob was urging us as our consultant not to slow down, to go ahead and start bidding for the next phase, which will be about $750,000 possibly, we just don't know yet, to create the fourth circuit. And that would be bringing in a new circuit, a line. Insertion point for this new circuit would be at the corner of First and 64 and 106. If you look up there, you'll see this utility pole now with a tremendous amount of cabling and lines, and that's kind of an intersection. And what we need to do now is come in from one of our substations with yet another line that would create the fourth circuit, which would primarily feed the downtown area. That is our concern. We've got to get that fourth circuit in without delay so we can also enhance service in the downtown area. It's kind of a complicated process. It involves a lot of money, but as Bob and I were talking in the meeting, we are very wise to be proactive and do this because Bob was again talking about how 2 years ago in that big freeze at Christmas, he can't figure out how our linemen kept the electric system up because he said it was way overloaded, over capacity. And we were talking about how people are building big homes. I'm just going to be honest with you. These aren't little cottages like we used to have around Mirror Lake.
No, go ahead.
These are big homes. They take a lot of electrical power and energy when they are occupied. This next Christmas, all the people will come up, and I understand they should want to come up here and celebrate Christmas in this beautiful place. All those homes will be occupied. The lights will be on. Most of them will have a bunch of grandchildren in them, and they'll be running their games, firing that hot water heater up like there's no tomorrow, and running the electric heating system. And when you get everybody online, the load comes up. And he was talking about, he would think that we could get up as much as 22 megawatts. Normally, in a regular day, we're running about 10 or 12, or maybe a little more than that. But he says we've got to be prepared with an infrastructure to handle these huge surges in power. Now, I look back on that, Steve. Back in 1929, when they put in the hydroelectric system, they were lucky to generate 1 megawatt, but it would power up the town, and everybody thought that was the bomb. You've got electricity in the mountains. And you now think about 22 times more in demand. And, you know, again, I get back, people always say, oh, your solution is just to redo the old hydro plant and your problem will solve. No, it would not solve our problem. It'd just be spending about $5, 6, 7 million and constantly lowering Lake Sequoia. Let's say with the new technology, we could do 2 megawatts. I mean, really in a situation where we've just got to get the electric grid up to maximum efficiency, and then we're going to have to just buy more power because people continue to use it.
I see the stand that's been built for the transformer on 64 right, going in or out of Highland. So that is part of the
part of that third circuit system. Okay. Yes, it is. And we'll be doing that over on 64 and other areas, too, as we go with the fourth circuit. One of the biggest concerns that the electric folks have is when we put those transformers and everything out, we want to make them to where if somebody runs off the road and hits the transformer poles, we don't knock out half the city.
Never thought of that.
Yeah, well, we've had people hit utility poles. Thankfully, nobody's been killed, but a car with a high impact can snap a utility pole. Lamar Nix is always concerned that we have a lot of communication providers that use our poles, and they hook their big copper lines and things on the poles. Every time they do that, they're drilling at least one or two holes through the pole to run the bolts in and attach their pole. So if you get about three or four providers drilling those holes in that one area where they can attach, that makes that pole very vulnerable if we have tropical storm winds like we did with Helene. Many of those poles that we lost, they would snap right at that area because those holes weaken the pole right there. And that's one of the reasons why we've been replacing a lot of poles in recent years.
And the utility company's doing a great job. You with Josh Ward, our town manager, toured looking into the development of Riverwalk, and the code enforcement officer you were telling me was notified.
We were out looking at a sewer substation, trying to figure out how to solve a problem at that unit. We were both amazed at how many areas of the town are seeing major development in home building. And again, getting back to, we're not talking about little cottages, we're talking about substantial homes being built on the side of very distressed mountainsides. And we rode up to Barrymore, there's a home there, out to Mirror Lake, there are developments there, the Highlands Country Club, Bowery Road, all of these areas. It's a challenge to manage the construction because sometimes our contractors will forget to acquire a permit. Sometimes it's not a forgetful thing, it's a conscious thing. And we're very concerned, especially for them to have permitting in place when they go to do land disturbance, because you've got to have silt fences in place and follow all those protocols. And that's really what we were looking at. One of the telltale signs for us was when you see a lot of mud and debris tracking near a construction site, and it's now out in the road. That makes us wonder, are they following the best practices on erosion control? So we were just putting our code enforcement person, Bobby Henry, in position and making him aware of some of these areas, and he'll go take a look and see if everything's in order.
While we're recording, we're hearing the thunder that is coming up and popping up that was supposed to come in here. And I've been using the app Is that what you're going to talk about?
Absolutely. I hope everybody has their Town of Highlands app and Code Red with the county. And you can access the Code Red system, sign up for that by way of our app. You need to have our Highlands app. It's very important. As we're talking, I just received a Code Red alert about the impending thunderstorm.
Now, going into town or out of town, mostly in town, I see that the lights at Little Bear Pen are about to be set into motion, the warning lights when somebody's coming out of Little Bear Pen.
That's right. The only thing now that has to be done, and that's a state project, they need to bore a hole under the road. Hopefully they won't hit rock, so they can run the underground power to the system. And that might take a week or so for them to complete that process.
The Tennessee official said that I-40 at the line could be and should be open by July 3rd. So great job by the DOT.
That is good news. I've been reading about tourism in Western Carolina this summer. It's a little bit slow in areas. The Blue Ridge Parkway, there's some sections of that are still closed because they're having to repair the washouts, similar to what we had to do on 106 after Helene. So tourism is somewhat lower than in the past years, but it's beginning to make a comeback.
I think we'll probably make up for it with the July 4th holiday. I'm going to get a t-shirt with the Duck Derby thing when all that starts, and we should have the town is always ready for it.
That's right, and the Rotary Club is staging their operations with the free hot dogs, getting ready to have all the 4th of July games for the children at the ball field, and then of course we'll be having the fireworks, and the fireworks person will be staging his show at the lower parking lot of the rec park.
Well, good to have you back from your run. And listening to your agenda, I got to take a nap. We'll have seen you at the Mountaintop Rotary Arts and Crafts Show.
Come by my tent if you want to look at the work that I've done. That's great. If you just want to talk to me about some town business issue, that's great too. I'm always on duty.